that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So, Justin, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, nothing much. finishing some projects. That and working on a few things on my own.
Yeah.
And, going to get back into the gym later today. And I've been working out. I haven't been going to kickboxing, but I've been working out quite a bit on my own, getting in good shape. And now, finally, things have cleared up a little bit, so I'll have some time to make it back to kickboxing.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah, I've been busy.
Yeah.
Been learning.
You're always busy, though. Yeah. That's good.
But yeah, self-imposed. I'm like learning Blender, which is a 3D modeling software that is very complicated. It's not fun. Well, it's fun once you figure out how to navigate through it. But then it's like daunting because I realize like there's so much stuff to learn, but it's fun. I always try to give myself different projects to work on.
It's interesting. The guy who I'm doing the record for is a little bit like you in that he is always involved in something. He's doing some convention, then he goes up to his farm, and then he'll make his own maple syrup, and then he'll go fishing. So he loves to just constantly immerse himself in life. And I feel that in a way is a behavior. Whether it's a learned behavior or it's just the way you are, I think that's the way some people are. Like, I'm not like that. Like, I love to do a lot of things, but I don't love to constantly immerse myself in all these different things. Sometimes I just like to focus on a few things at a time. Like, whether it's, I guess when you do something like, you do something like music, which you do, like you do martial arts, which is similar, but you don't immerse yourself in like martial arts the same way. Like, you train when you train, but it's not an everyday thing all day, like some people.
It's pretty much an everyday thing with teaching, right? Like,
well, teaching is a different story.
Yeah, I mean, okay,
like,
so
you're not reading every
so,
thing that you can get your hands on. You're not go study with all these different people. Like, it's a big
when
part
I
of your life, but it's not a complete
when
immersion.
I begin
but
a
it
new
was
project.
At one point.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I think what you're mentioning is, so I'll begin projects which require that immersion. Like, you know, when I started Muay Thai, it requires that. I have to be all over the place. I have to be training.
Sort of
I have to learn.
In.
You're trying to learn from everybody. Not that I know all that much as it is now, but there's not that same level of immersion, even though it's still a significant part of my life.
Yeah.
The same thing can be said for, you know, like 3D printing that I've been into, and like learning 3D modeling and writing and all the different things that I do. So I'm always, there was a project that, much to my wife's chagrin, requires a certain level of mental time and physical immersion it's never ending. And for whatever reason, I feel like whenever I start a project, I have to put that level of work
into it. Sure, which is good.
It.
And you've always been like that.
Okay,
ever
good.
Since
tell
I
my wife that. tell my wife, tell Anna that.
But I mean, and it's true. Ever since I remember, you were always, or at least towards your later teen years, you were always in something.
Yeah.
There's always a new project, a new this, a new that. And that's good. I think it's a good behavior, especially if that's the sort of thing that you're into.
It's good, but sometimes it takes you away from important things. Which is my own problem. Like, I do have to find a balance, because every new project that I take on
takes away from
other more important things. And so sometimes my problem is not realizing, like, okay, I need to take a step back. Like, we have our, I was telling my wife about the project that we are working on that won't give me any details of it right now, but suffice it to say that if we actually pull this thing off, it would be pretty remarkable.
Require full
we actually have two projects.
Both of us.
We have two projects potentially that would. And so when I brought it up to her, you know, it's like, oh wow, that's a great idea. So how much time is that going
to
take? Because it's true.
Yeah.
It's like
that
kind of immersion.
Your new thing.
Well, you know what I basically decided is that once we really begin in earnest on this project, instead of taking from whatever leisure time I do have, I'm really going to have to just say, okay, I'm taking another day off. Like, basically, like, there'll have to be a work day that I'm going to have to sacrifice in order to really work on this project, rather than saying, oh, well, sorry, the little bit of, you know, time that we have together, I'm going to take away from that. I can't, like, that's not fair to me. It's not fair to her.
Sure.
Or anybody in my mental, whatever. So at this point, I'll probably have to sacrifice a little bit of the money, but like, we're pretty sure this project will be pretty cool, so it's like we got to figure out how to do it. But yeah, that's the problem. It's like the wheels are always turning, I guess, which is a great problem to have, but it's also, it can be daunting when you're starting something new.
And it, yeah, exactly. And I've been thinking a lot about behaviors, my behavior and things that I would like to change or like to nice enhance, segue. Like to get rid of. And so I've been doing some reading and I came across an article that talked about tweaks. Now, specifically, the article talked about tweaks for food, like on a holiday season or something. And maybe we can revisit this article during that season.
Yeah.
The gist of it was you to make some healthy variations. So for one dish, instead of using cream, you use yogurt. For one dish, you maybe use a lean meat. So just like little tweaks like that. And it got me thinking, do these little modifications, do they work? And I know this happens to be a diet thing, but when you look at the broader scope of making little tweaks in your behavior, do they work, really?
Yeah.
And so my first thought, specifically in this instance, I thought, well, even though this sounds like it works theoretically, oh yeah, you change this food for that, you change this food for that, and you have a lot healthier options. Yeah. Then I got to thinking, specifically in this instance, you're at a holiday party. Does it really make a difference? You're eating so much that really, fine, maybe one dish is healthier, a couple dishes are healthier. It's not about what you're eating. It's about how much you're eating. And you know, at a holiday party, you're drinking and you're eating dessert, you're eating everything. It's really not going to make a difference. So I actually thought that the article was a little useless.
Yeah.
And also, just the concept of trying to make a holiday party or a holiday feast healthy didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, there are certainly times, most of the times, where you want to be healthy.
Yeah.
But if there was ever a time to splurge and not deprive yourself, it would be a holiday party.
Yeah. Well, there are a few topics to cover here.
Sure.
So the first thing I would say is, and we've talked about this before, when it comes to like cheating, or if you have my advice, any amount of someone's like, oh, I'm going to go to a party, how should I? It's like, if you're going to a party, if you have self-control, like if you know that you have having one bad meal will not carry over into a month of bad meals, then just eat whatever at the holiday. It's a party. Don't worry about it. It doesn't have that big of an effect on your life. But kind of outside of that, I think we were talking earlier about this topic. And so we're going to touch on some things that we're probably going to want to revisit with an expert. So it's kind of, because we're going to touch a bit on like behavior modification. And while I have some of my own experience with clients, like I've had enough experience that I can tell you what I've seen observed with different clients and behavior modification,
and
what works.
A lot of,
but I
stuff
think, take it with a bit of a grain of salt and like know that, you know, we'll try to revisit this where we actually talk to a psychologist, psychiatrist, somebody who has specific expertise on behavior modification, because what we're talking about is purely anecdotal, you know, for the most part, and maybe some little bit of things that I've read through research here and there. But again, it's more based on our experience and anecdotal than anything else. But so you have this idea of small little tweaks. That was the interesting thing that you brought up, is like, does that really work, and who does it work for, and how does it work? So what's your stance on it, kind of now thinking about it, because it sounds good, right? Like I'm guilty or not of saying this all the time, but I do say, oh well, you know, we try to make little changes that, you know, and then gradually make changes that over an extended period of time will create a significant difference. So we might start with a couple small modifications, let's say, to your exercise program. And if you look at it from month to month, it's not significant. But if you look at the difference between month one and month 12, it's a significant difference. But the idea is you make these changes so that it's not a major shock to the system, that you can kind of ease into it. And it makes the transition a lot easier than it would if there's a complete massive overhaul. Sounds nice. But in practice, it's a little bit of a different thing. So what are your thoughts on that?
So for me, as far as exercise is concerned, I've never felt really the need to do little tweaks because I've always been very consistent with exercise. It's something I enjoy doing. The things that will vary is my intensity level based on my shape. If I'm going a lot more, then I'll be more intense. I know how to push myself. I know when not to push myself. So as far as little tweaks go, that's never really applied to me because I don't have an issue. Like, I'm satisfied with my level of exercise. The only thing I would like to change is to go more often, but that's not a little tweak. That's just going more often.
That's a lifestyle thing, too. You're just too busy. You're busy. You know,
sometimes,
busy.
Yeah, and I will go more often when I have the time. For me, the little tweaks and the – or if that were to work, would be in terms of diet. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, really little tweaks – have never worked. For me also, large tweaks have never worked.
Yeah.
So actually, funny for me, sort of in between tweaks have worked.
Yeah.
So for instance, going from having dessert, because I love dessert, it's sort of hard for me to function without it, going from dessert 5 days a week to going 3 days a week. Like, yeah, that's a tweak that would, to me, is reasonable. As far as eating, I'm actually quite healthy, so I believe it. I like eating healthy. I feel better. So then another tweak, that would be the one for me, is dessert. Like, or maybe some a little junk food. I'll just cut the chips out or half the amount of chips that I would normally eat. As far as everything else in my diet, I'm healthy. It's dessert is always the big issue for me. So that would be, for me, that's the tweak that when I'm really trying to be healthy, I'll say, okay, today, you know, this, I'll start, starting today, I go, or starting this week, I will go from eating dessert 5 days a week to eating dessert 3 days a week. And then I'll go on that, and then I'll try to, yeah, you know, get down maybe to 2 days a week. So that for me would be my method of tweaking.
So the little tweaks method, there's good and bad, and it sounds really good, right? It's an easy sell. You know,
it's not too painful.
Exactly.
Oh, I could do
assuming
that
you're somebody who doesn't have like an immediate goal, like if you're not coming in, you know, and saying, you know, I have to lose X amount of pounds for my wedding in 3 months or whatever it is. If there's no like time sensitive goal, it sounds really good to say we're going to ease into it and gradually get you from point A to point B. The problem is, and really thinking about this today got me thinking, it is an issue, is when, you know, there's a honeymoon period when it comes to exercise and dieting and kind of wanting to make those lifestyle changes. So if you're not a gym rat or you're not a regular in the gym, then when you finally make that decision to start, there's a bit of, I don't know if it's like a, if there's an excitement and there's a part that it actually wants to do it and you're excited about it and maybe get a little bit of like a dopamine hit and you're excited about starting this new program. But that honeymoon period doesn't last very long. No. And so then you get to the point where it's tedious. It's a job. And if it's not something you enjoy doing, you've got to find the motivation to do it. So if you do the gradual method, unfortunately, you don't get the results as fast. The results more come from small lifestyle and habit changes. But since you're not getting the results as quickly and the honeymoon ends quickly, it becomes very hard to stick with it and to stay motivated and to stay excited on that type of a program. And I've actually, you know, when I think about it, I found that what ends up happening is the people that are successful with the gradual changes, they tend to need constant supervision and constant, like, somebody there behind, like telling them, like, here's what you need to do. Okay, now you're here. Now we got to move to this. And moving you. So like if you have a trainer that's going to sit there and monitor every detail and constantly kind of move things forward for you, it'll work. But you need that person there, or you need to be that person for yourself, which most people aren't. So it's very hard to do that and apply this like approach without having somebody there to micromanage you, basically, and just tell you, all right, here's what you need to do next, and this is what you need to do next, and to keep you motivated.
So now, what would be an example of the tweaks method or the gradual method for someone who hasn't worked out or who hasn't worked out in a long time? Would it be just starting to go 2 days a week?
Yeah, I mean, it might be, yeah, like something as simple as that. Sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, just get to the gym twice a week. Yeah, exactly that. Like, you know, if it's somebody who's a personal training client, it will be, all right, well, you're going to start working out with me, you know, once a week or twice a week. And then, you know, the next step will be, okay, now after our workouts, you're going to stay and do 30 minutes of cardio. And then it's going to be, okay, now we're going to add an extra day during the week. So now you're coming in, you're meeting with me twice a week, but now you're going to do a third day on your own. And then you just build on that. So that's kind of like, that would be when it comes to exercise, like the gradual method. Like when it comes to diet, it might be, again, I'm not a nutritionist, but the basic things I might say would be, okay, you know, you're going to, you look at a food log and let's say they eat you know, peanut M&Ms every day. I'm thinking of that because somebody told me today she has an issue with peanut M&Ms. So like, all right, well, we're going to cut out the peanut M&Ms. You know, everything will stay the same, but we'll cut out peanut M&Ms. Then maybe you see that they eat really late dinner. So, okay, now we're going to move dinner up, you know, 2 hours. And then, so the same idea is that you make these little tweaks, and once that tweak sets in, you kind of like let it settle. Maybe that settling period is a couple weeks, maybe it's a month, you know, it really depends on the person and the goal and what you're tweaking. But once like your tweak sets in and is firm and part of their life, then you go on to something else. So you're just constantly like settling new aspects of their fitness and or diet. And then once that's solid and firm and in place, you then go find something else. Okay, what else can we tweak? And we'll tweak that. Then what else? It's the same thing as if you're teaching you're teaching a student something, like if they, you find little things, you tweak that, and then you just keep building as they're doing it.
So now, isn't there a concern, or maybe this has happened, I'm sure it has, that if it's only a minor change, such as, well, you're only going for half an hour, isn't it easy for the person to say, oh, well, it's only half an hour, why not, I'm just not going
to
go today?
I mean, that's the part that you have to impress into the person is
that they're going to do it, they have to stick with it.
Yeah, the thing is,
they fail.
With somebody like that, It's the habit forming part. That's the part that's important. It's not, you know, even if you're sick or depends on how sick you are, but if you're lethargic or something's wrong, you know, the point isn't that, yeah, missing the workout is not going to kill you. Just like eating that meal at Thanksgiving is not going to kill you. The key is that you're formulating habits. So let's say you have, if I have somebody who's new and they have that Wednesday is their day to go to the gym by themselves and do their cardio, but they're tired, they had a long day and they just don't feel great. Don't skip the gym, go to the gym, but just sit on the bike for 20 minutes. You're keeping the habit. You're keeping that going. That's part of your routine. So that tends to work as far as the gradual change. But you're right. If you as a professional, that's something I have to communicate to the client, because if they don't understand that part of it's not as much about the results as it is about the routine and the habit. Mm. If they don't understand it, then yes, they may say, oh, I don't feel, I'm tired, it's one workout, whatever, I'll make it up later. And that's where the problems come. So it's like you have to get out of the mind. You have to get out of the mindset of making poor choices in the moment. Same thing with diet. I notice myself, if I'm eating well, when I'm, you know, my weakness is a sweet tooth. So I've told you about, I went through this where I only eat sweets on Friday. Like that's my day. And that's my hard set rule. And if I don't eat that, you know, bad thing on Friday, I'm done. I don't have any other days during the week. In the past, my kind of what I would do is say, okay, I have one bad meal a week, but it wouldn't be as hard set of a rule. So I might have that bad meal like on Monday, and then I might do it again later. It's like, all right, well, I'll have it on Friday, but then this Friday my meal will be for next week, so I'll just skip it next week. But then next week comes like, whatever, it was a week, so I'll just have another one. And you know, you it's easy to fall into that, you know, that trap. So you know, part of it is teaching mental strength. In addition to the exercise. So it becomes more of as much of a mental game as it is a physical.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it also got me thinking about willpower and the concept of temptation. So first off, just the very fact that you are tempted by something, whether it's eating an extra dessert or whether it's just staying home, is it wrong to be tempted? Like if the very fact that you are tempted to do something, does that show that you're mentally weak, or that you're just not into whatever, you just don't believe in whatever thing you're working for?
We're human, so I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I think if it's something that's bad, it's having the willpower to avoid, to fight making a bad choice. And if you're somebody who is prone to making poor choices, then you have to put yourself in a position where you don't have to make those choices. So I think they're dual parts. And, you know, again, as an example, I think most of us, when we're hungry, we tend to overestimate how much food we're going to need. So if you're really, really hungry and you're at a restaurant, or you're ordering food, or even if you're preparing food, you're going to overestimate what you're going to need because of how hungry you are. You're going to pick, you know, way more than you'll actually need. And so part a way to combat that is just make sure you're never that hungry.
Don't put yourself in that
position to make those choices. Or do what I'm doing. This is going to be a little plug for Meal Pass. If you're in New York, I don't know if they're anywhere else, but Meal Pass I've been using for a while. It's basically for about a month. So I'm going to get, they're not a sponsor of the show, obviously, but it's been really effective for me. Basically comes out to like $6 a day. And what you do is the night before at like 7 o'clock, you look, they post the menu for the day, and and just number of restaurants all over the city are connected with them. So you would choose, like, for me, I have to look at my schedule and say, okay, I'm going to be in this area at this time when I want to eat lunch. And then I can select from the restaurants that they have in that area what lunch I want.
That's cool.
And it's been working really well for me. So the good thing for me, though,
maybe we can have them send us a plan. Well, I guess you're doing, maybe we can do a review.
Yeah, well, we could. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a review I guess I could review it. The negative thing I will say is they have an iPhone app that sucks. And the website's kind of annoying, but as far as the service, it's been awesome because to kind of get back on track. So my big issue with food recently, up until I started doing the Meal Pass thing, I have two problems. One is I spend way too much money on food because I'm in New York and I usually go to salad bars and I'll just load my, so two problems. I load my plate up with way more food than I need, and salad bars in New York are freaking expensive, so I'm spending way more money than I want to spend. So two issues that I have when it comes to eating lunch in the city. So with Meal Pass, what's been great is I pick my meal the night before.
So what's the other issue?
Those are two issues: too much money and too much food.
Oh, then you eat, and then because you're hungry and you bring too much, then you wind up eating
exactly. Yeah. So it's connected, right? I'm way too hungry, so I overeat because I put too much on the plate, and then I'm spending too much money. You're right. So or if I go to a restaurant, I order an appetizer and then a big meal because I'm just hungry. So. Yeah. What's been good with Meal Pass is it comes out to $6 a day, and then I select my meal the night before. So I pick something that's going to be relatively healthy for the most part. Some days I'll choose something that looks good. Like there was a one that was near this place, Smack, which is great. Awesome macaroni and cheese. So I had to have it because I was going to be close by. But besides that, for the most part, it's pretty healthy. I'm saving money and I'm not eating as much. So in that way, for me,
portions a little smaller.
It depends on the place. Every place is different because it's connected with different restaurants. So like there's one place that makes these really good like steak salads, but it's small. But then there was another place where I got today I had this gigantic thing of egg noodles and pork from. So it really depends on where you're.
If you're always hungry, there's no law that says you can't get another.
Yeah, exactly. But the point being for me is even on the smaller meals, I'm usually pretty full. Yeah. So that's it. Again, I took a really long roundabout way to get to the point of if you just put yourself in good positions and that will help.
Yeah. Now, when we spoke with the hypnotist a little while back, he spoke about evasion tactics. Like, for instance, if you keep something out of sight, let's say you have a weakness for cookies, so you put the cookies in a drawer in a cupboard. He believes that you're less likely to eat them than if they're sitting out. Have you ever found any tactics like that to work for you? Or do you just like, look, you know they're there, you're going to eat them, as opposed to them sitting out that you might just reach in and grab one? Or anything else that might work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think out of sight, out of mind will work, obviously. The problem is if you know it's there, I think it might... I guess there's something to be said for walking by and not being tempted by anything versus walking by and seeing it being tempted, even if you know it's there. So I can see how that's true. Personally, for me, I'm not very good with that. So I know that if there's something bad, if I know it's there, I'm going to eat it, unless I'm very strict about myself. Like my wife and stepkids, they typically will order, although they've been eating a bit healthier recently too, but usually they would order, there's cookies around the house and juice and a lot, and it's hard for me to not have it. Or I get home and there's like, they've ordered pizza or whatever. But because I've been much more strict about it, I have no temptations because I'm strict. I know my rules. So for me personally, I know how I work, and I need rules. If I have structure, it's like yes or no. But if I allow myself any flexibility, that's where I personally run into problems. So I think everyone's different, but definitely like it makes sense, like out of sight, out of mind. Like if
For me, it works a very little bit.
Yeah.
When something is away, I won't eat it.
I'll give an example.
What's always worked best is just not having it.
Yeah.
I just don't buy it, because if it's not in the house, let's say I'm craving something sweet. If it's not in the house, I'll have to make a healthier concession. So instead of eating a candy bar, I'll eat a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
So I'll do something like that. And for me, that's the way, is just to avoid it. Just not. And that's, for me, that's not putting myself in the position.
Well, I know whenever I come here to record, you always have some form of chips or Doritos in your cupboards. The problem is when you have it out that I'll actually eat the Doritos like today. So that's also.
But you didn't eat that many, and neither did I.
A couple, yeah. And Doritos isn't my problem. My problem is not chips. It's my problem is sweets. Like if you had, you know. What happened? I told you my star when I went, when I was at Celebration Weekend, that I had lots of cookies because I needed food. And something happened recently where I was forced to eat something bad, but I forget what. But yeah,
what's your definition of forced to eat?
It was someone there
offered
or there was,
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but no, I mean, obviously I was not forced. But
It's very hard.
It's hard. It's hard to turn down something that's offered.
I have a student
offered.
That his mom always brings me. Either
oh, that's what happened.
Cookies.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Ugh. Oh, okay. That was
so
it. It was on Sunday morning. I had a client, I trained him at his apartment, he had baked cookies. Yeah. So I go in, and he's like, and he's like, yeah, I baked some cookies. You got to try it. And it's like, A, it's hard for me to turn down cookies, but B, it's like, I'm not going to say
no
to fresh baked
cookies. You have one.
So I had two.
Okay.
Yeah. You can put two on the plate. What was I going to do? Turn it back.
Of course.
All right. So that was my one.
So, sort of moving this along, we all want to fall into a positive routine. We know it's so easy to fall into a negative routine.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to fall into a positive routine, we have that whole easing into something. But sometimes in the past, for me, just going into it just head on, headstrong has worked, although it never works completely, and I'll always back off a little bit. But what I back off to is still better than what I was from. So, for instance, I'll get into a hardcore diet and hardcore working out, and I know that I'm not necessarily going at a sustainable rate, but it gets me into that. And then when I level off, I often find myself in a good place. How do you feel about that? Just jumping into something, you know, and really going balls out.
Again, it depends on the person. That method, so there's interesting, because you know, obviously we have things like with the Biggest Loser, how bad that can be for you, and how people that have been on that show and people go through these extreme diets tend to not have success. Although there's been some interesting research that shows that you actually have better results with that approach, or can potentially have better results with that approach, the kind of cold turkey approach, or the all, you know, just put everything in. Now, what happens there is, the reason why is because it's so extreme that you have to make progress. And then even if you rebound, sometimes the rebound is enough that you've still made a good deal of progress.
As where long
if
you as take, you can get back, just go back into
where,
it eventually.
Whereas if you take the small gradual
it's like
approach,
sprints.
It's not
like
as
doing,
quick.
It's like, like sprints.
Yeah. So now the problem
which,
with
which are more the, effective than distance runs.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily.
The problem with
the
crash approach, or the all-out, all-in approach is, that is the rebound. So you go all in, you're not used to it, and at some point, again, the honeymoon period ends, and how do you handle it, and can you keep it up, and is it sustaining? And usually people rebound completely the other way, whether there's some kind of an injury, or they just give up, or their life gets in the way. So that approach can be effective. I've seen it be effective, but I've also seen people be effective with it and then completely gain all the weight back. You know, there still has to be a plan. Mm. So if you do that approach, you have to account for what the changes that happen in your life. So if I decide that I'm going to go from not exercising at all to exercising 4 or 5 days a week and dieting, I have to be able to account for what aspects of my life are going to change because I'm adding that. And we talked about that. There was a great Cracked article on it. Mm. And that's really, really important. So if you're going to do the crash approach, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, yeah, I'll go crazy. Essentially, I mean, they don't say it in those words, but like, I'm going to go crazy and go extreme for a few months. Then when I get to my goal, I'll go into maintenance. And that's all great. That's fine. In theory, it works, but you need to say, okay, I'm going to go extreme right now, but here are all the things that I'm going to change in my life to allow myself to go extreme. Because if you don't make those concessions and you don't make those changes, then you're going to rebound, and it's going to rebound hard. And the other issue is injuries. So the problem with doing too much too fast is also that when it comes to exercise, specifically, is that injuries are easy to happen. So if you're someone who's not used to exercising and you start going, you know, working out 2 hours a day and doing tons of squats and exercises you're not used to doing and deadlifts and you're running, there's just a chance, there's a significant chance of injury. So again, it just takes, the approach can't just be, I'm going to go extreme. You need to have a plan with plan. That.
Have you ever thought of this plan? Has anyone ever done this? The balls in, balls out approach, where like for 2 weeks you go really hard with both diet and exercise, then you take a week where you just sort of don't do anything, where you take it easy. Maybe you don't have a terrible diet, but you just do whatever. Then you go another 2 weeks really hard. Do you think that that is a sustainable, and would you see results? Could that work? That's a kind of a clever plan,
If that hasn't been marketed, maybe we should do that. We should call it the Jim Witz balls in, balls out workout. 2 weeks of exercise, a week of...
Or you could do another plan. 3 days hardcore dieting and exercise, 1 day, whatever you want. 3 days, you know, really hard. Could that work?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it could work as a program.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but to get results, I don't know that it would work. Because if you say you could do whatever you want, like you can eat a lot of calories.
Not whatever you want, but just normal. Not thinking of your diet. So like on 3 days going super strict diet, right? Really working out hard, no dessert, no nothing, really clean. Then on your day off, just a normal day. Like maybe you'll eat a burger, maybe some dessert, nothing awful, but just a normal day where you feel comfortable, but not pigging out, just a normal day. So that could mean a dessert.
You can be the guinea pig for this. I honestly
then
don't know.
3 days really strict, then just a very normal day of eating whatever you want, you know, dessert.
I don't know.
That's an interesting concept. Or maybe probably over a 2 week plan. Why wouldn't it not work? It would definitely work in the exercise realm because just the...
Yeah, sure. Because you need days off anyway for exercise. It would work for that. I'm saying for the weight loss and diet part, that's where it would be an issue. You know, I don't...
Well, so for someone like me, like a normal day isn't that bad.
Yeah, but we're not talking about someone. We're saying just the average person. So you probably eat a healthier diet than the average person. It's definitely the average American.
I think that with a lot of what I eat, I think a lot of Americans would be very satisfied. So a satisfying day. So maybe it's not a pig out day, but it's a satisfying day. Just normal food and a dessert. So, and then I think it could work. Or maybe 2 weeks in, 1 week off. Maybe something like that.
I don't know. You could try it. You could try it out.
What do you think? Do you think that it could work?
I don't know. How'd your intermittent fasting thing
go? I never really got into it. I did it for a little bit.
My
brain didn't work well.
I don't think it would work, but we can look it up and see if there's been anything similar to that.
Maybe it depends on the level to which the... I think it really would depend on how bad
It's also like... How far are the extremes?
How far are the extremes? Yeah,
you know, and are you doing extreme exercise during your on period? Or you,
you know, to what you can pushing yourself to what you can do? I think it's a good plan. Hey, maybe this is the new plan.
The balls out. What was it? Balls in, balls out.
Balls in, balls out. Why is that so funny?
Jim Witz balls in, balls out.
All right. So, we've all heard this slogan for many years now. It's a great marketing slogan, and it comes with a great logo, and it's just do it. You know, the Nike slogan, which implies, you know, just go out there and, you know, put yourself out there and work hard. Is it as simple as that? Is it as simple as just someone putting on their running shoes and just going and just starting their plan, or just doing it day by and just every day waking up and just doing it? And if it's not that, if someone doesn't go into their new plan, if they say they want to work out, does it mean that they don't care? Are they being lazy? Is it really extreme in those ways where you can just either just go do it? And if you don't, and if you're not able to go do it, does it mean you don't care or that you're lazy? Is it that cut and dry?
No, it's not that cut and dry. It depends. It's a layered answer. It's not something you can. There's so many variables. If you have a goal, if you have a very specific goal, and you know what you're supposed to do, then yes, it is cut and dry. It's you either do it or you don't. What is the Yoda quote? do or do not. There is no try, I think, something like that. Yeah. So like in that way, yeah,
if you're
sure.
Trying, you ain't.
Yeah, so well, no, it's not even that. If not, it's just that it's one or the other. It's like, you know, it's a
so you think
one
it is
or zero.
Cut and dry there.
In some ways, yes, but obviously that's a oversimplification of it. It's not really just.
Is it simple?
Yes and no. It's simple.
So what's
it's
not,
like
what's
simple in that.
About it?
What?
So I'll give you the example of the person that I have in mind. My mom.
Yeah.
She every day she says, "Oh, I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start my plan. I'm gonna start working out. I'm gonna start eating better." And it's funny, sort of about this one thing she does that I know is sort of behavior that I tell her every time she's doing it. I was making breakfast for her, and I said, "Oh, so do you want another tortilla with this? A little like little fried tortilla I was making." She's like, "Oh, no, it's enough. And she'll always do that. She's like, "Oh no, it's enough. You're giving me too much. And then she won't eat it during dinner, the real food that I'm giving her. And then she'll go and then she'll eat a big dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Or she'll eat a lot of chips. Do you see that? Where people will deprive themselves of the real food and then go eat the junk later.
Yeah.
So she does. And I keep telling her, I'm like, you can't do that. And I don't always have, you know, I don't always see her. So I don't have, you know, my eyes aren't on her all the time.
Yeah.
So I can't always tell her. So I wonder how much she's doing it on her own.
Yeah.
But she always says, "Yo, I'm gonna get into it, you know, starting next week, after the holiday, after this." And I'm like, "No, you're not."
What?
You know why? Because you're not, you don't care. I think with her, she wants to, but she just doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be judgmental of people, but at the same time, I think there's...
I mean, what's being judgmental? It's based on facts.
It's not...
If she cared, she would do it.
You don't want to call somebody lazy or say... It's just a matter of...
she's lazy.
Is it a priority?
But she says it is.
Yeah.
But then she doesn't do it. So I think she just doesn't care.
Yeah, well then...
She cares, but not enough to make the change.
Yeah. Or the resistance is strong. The pull away from it is stronger than the pull to not wanting to do it. I don't want to say laziness, but
it is. She even said, she's like, I'm lazy. She even said it herself. She's like, I'm lazy. I'm being lazy. I find reasons not to do this.
Well, then that's what it is. I think it's like finding excuses or lack of willpower. I guess I don't know why I have an aversion to saying lazy, because there's much, I guess because I see it on a day-to-day basis, there's so much more to it than just calling someone lazy is like the easy way out. And it really is, there's a lot more involved. It's much more of a mental game. It's part of it's just not ignorance as far as not knowing what to do. Parts fear, parts insecurity. There's so many other variables that it's hard to call it just lazy, but I think at the end of the day, is it a priority for you? And if it is, you'll find a way to do it. And if not, then obviously you've put certain things in your life ahead of that. For, you know, your mom, it might just be just not getting up and going to the gym is more important and more valuable.
And she knows the importance. She knows that she's not
getting
younger.
We all know.
She sees the intellectually, tummy that she never had. Yeah.
No, we all know that.
And she's worked out and she's exercised before.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is something new for her.
Yeah. No, for some people, it becomes hard. There's some point, it's just like finding, it's like there's a block.
There's a block.
And that's
so how do we get past that block?
How do we get past the block?
Is it the gradual method or is it
talk to me. It's so person specific. That's why I think we need to talk to behavior modification specialists,
because
we could talk about different examples and situations. I think in a situation like that,
I feel like a
you
lot
know,
of people
because some
what
people,
my mom is going
some
to.
People need the accountability.
Common.
Maybe she needs you to go work out with her.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs you to sit down and say, "All right, we're going to set a date, and this date you're going to go." You know, like everybody's different in as far as how they or how they modify their behavior or what it's going to take to get over that block. And you know, that's a problem with, like, there's no one size fits all solution. And that's where when I meet with a new client, part of that whole interview process is extracting that information from them, find out like what they're, you know, I try to find out how often they go to the gym and like how often they stop and start. And then I try to find out why they stopped and why they start. And the more information you can get, the more I can start to formulate like a plan that might be successful or that will work. Because if you don't know where they've come from and what's happened in the past, if you don't have that information to kind of inform your own decisions, it's really hard to make help them find a solution that will actually work. So same thing with your mom. Like, I would have to sit and kind of like interview her and figure out, you know, what what her situation has been in the past, compared to, you know, what makes now, you know, different. Part of it might be, you know, she's just retired now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, that might come into it. If you're, you know, when you're working, you just like everything. It's when you're retired, it's actually even more important to get to the gym. It's important socially.
Oh, it's important.
Incredibly
it's
important. Physically, important, obviously. Yeah. So there.
That's an interesting episode. Retirement. Retired fitness.
Yeah, but retirement makes a difference just in life. Like you're settling down, and that also might mean kind of there may be a mental connection between settling down work life and then just physically, like, okay, I can relax. I don't need to go. So there are so many variables that it's important. So you have to understand that before you can really figure out what the right approach is.
So the slogan, just do it. Good slogan?
Oh, it's a good, amazing slogan.
Not from a marketing business, but as in realistically.
Well, I love that Yoda quote, but I think anyone who's a Star Wars fan does. And it's essentially the same thing, right? Like, do or do not. There's no try. Just do it. Like, it's basically saying the same thing, right? It's like, you do it or you don't. Like, there's no in between. Again, if you want something, then that's it. You know, that you either go for it or you don't. I think that their effort is more important. With anything, effort is more important than the result.
Sure.
So, you know, it does oversimplify it to say, like, you know, just do it. You know, it's like, okay, you want to, put the effort
well,
in.
Well, do it might mean put the effort
okay,
in.
Okay, yeah,
it
fair
necessarily
enough.
Mean get results.
So it's like,
it means put
you know,
the effort
if it's
in.
Like you're going to go fight somebody and it's like, you know, just, you know, win. You know, it's like not, you know, win or lose. You know, you know, there's no middle. It's like, no, put the effort in. If you put the effort in, then you've been successful. You know, if you write a book.
Of course, you mean fight in a cage or a ring.
Okay, not like walk the street and fight. But like, or anything that you do, I think if you put the right effort, not like there are some people we know that will remain unnamed who don't understand what it means to put, like, they
real effort
is, but we've been dealing with recently. That's why it came into mind. But some people will take on projects, but they don't really put the right kind of effort into it, and that, you know, that's not admirable. But if you put the work in, whether it's a quote success or not, I think that's the important part. So when you say just do it, my thought is, you know, just you put the work in, you know, put the effort in, put the work in. And, you know, that's it. So in that way, it's like, yeah, you can try. And if you fail, fine. As long as you know you did your best.
So
that's it.
All right. Well, you know where to reach us. We'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, on all this stuff.
Yep.
I had to use the word stuff at least once.
Yeah, you didn't say stuff like that, though. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think.
I don't even know if I use the word stuff at all.
Maybe not. Oh, cool.
Have you guys had similar experiences with this where you've started plans or stopped, or you just couldn't get into it, or there was something holding you back, or you're dealing with similar issues of willpower? Do you need to not have dessert in the house, or do you need to put it in a cupboard or something like that? Let us know what you think. You know, everything that you guys write in helps us. It gives us more fodder, it gives us more information, and it helps us communicate more good stuff to you guys.
All right, well, that's it. As usual, all of our stuff is at thegymwits.com. You can find our email, Facebook, Instagram.
Download the app.
Twitter, download the app if you have an iPhone. And rate, review if you can. It helps us. If you listen to a lot of podcasts, you probably hear this all the time. But yeah, it does really help with like the iTunes algorithms and stuff. So
I'm going to download it on my iPad right now.
Cool. All right. And then there are always extras. We posted a cheat meal last week. You know, we got some cool stuff to post with the app. So get the app, get some cool stuff. All right. That's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.